Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, May 28th. Happy Saturday! I'm reading from the New International Version. We pick up in the Holiness Code in Leviticus where Moses is giving the people various laws and how they can relate as an unholy people, an unclean people, with a holy God. The title says various laws. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Each of you must respect your mother and your father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make metal gods for yourselves. I am the Lord your God.' When you sacrifice a fellowship offering to the Lord, sacrifice it in such a way that it will be accepted on your behalf. It shall be eaten on the day you sacrifice it, or on the next day. Anything left over until the third day must be burned up. If any of it is eaten on the third day, it is impure and will not be accepted. Whoever eats it will be held responsible because they have desecrated what is holy to the Lord. They must be cut off from their people. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." As we listened through this portion of Leviticus, much of it was reminiscent of the Ten Commandments, wasn't it? To honor the Sabbath and to not bear false witness. There were more. But what stuck with me in the end was verse 18, love your neighbor as yourself. This was something that Jesus reiterates in the Gospels. Remember that time when someone came and tested Jesus with the question, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" This is in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. How does Jesus reply? He says this, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." That's from Deuteronomy 6:5. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So back buried in Leviticus, a book that we hardly ever read, is one of the tenets, one of the most important things that we can know, the greatest commandment, is to love others in the way that we love ourselves. And so as we continue to read through the Psalms today and as we go through life today, may that be a focus of our attention. We're going to turn over to the Psalms now. We are back at the beginning of the Psalms. We're in Psalm 2 today, and this is a coronation psalm. So this was created, this liturgy was created specifically for the coronation of a king, and it is put in the Psalter or the Book of Psalms so that when a new king came to be, then they would use this coronation song. The interesting thing for us as believers is that ultimately the fulfillment of the song, the most royal of kings, the king that is above all kings, is Jesus our Lord. And so as we read this psalm, we want to do so with eyes for him in mind. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stands, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Let's move over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll begin in verse 35, and the title in my Bible says, The Resurrection Body. As we discuss this body, let us remember when Jesus Christ comes again, those who are buried will be raised, and we will have a body. The study note in my Bible says this, In the resurrection, the body will be imperishable, glorious, and powerful, fit to live eternally with God. I think about Jesus when he was raised from the dead. He had a physical body and he ate with the people, but he also could go through walls. It was just a really interesting body. And so I look forward to that day. And in the meantime, we just need to remember the fact that we will be resurrected, that this is the hope that we share as believers. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body just as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of an earthly body is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. The stars differ from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of dust, of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. As we close today, I want to read a snippet of a liturgy from the book Every Moment Holy. This is actually the second volume. This is called A Liturgy of Praise for Christ Who Conquered Death. Death's dark shroud has been rent ragged and pierced through by the first dawning of your resurrection light. And after your return, after the final splintering of that dark night, death will possess no lasting fame. The work of death will win no glory for its name. Hear this promise, O children of God, hear and know. Death will surely forever die, his shoddy works undone, his usurped crown torn from his palsied grasp, his impotence unmasked, his power to harm shattered for all eternity like shards of thinnest glass. Receive the glory due your name, Lord Christ. We who live in this shadow land of death's last stand await your appearance and command, O Lord. Every longing of our souls, every molecule of our physical bodies is crying out for, yearning for, reaching for, tilted toward the irresistible gravity of your being and your glory. Come quickly, Lord Jesus.